says nice. The boys are back in town, as they say. I don't know if they actually say that, but I'm
saying it's a song.
Yeah,
it's a good song
as well. It feels great. It does. I don't know if you guys saw, but this week there was the Creator Classic with the golfers, the YouTube golfers.
I did see that. Yeah.
Fat Perez with his long putt. That
his name is Fat Perez.
His name is Nick Stubbe.
Is he indeed fat?
Oh, quite a large man. Quite a large man.
Okay.
I know, right? Like
just some skinny white guy. It's like 60 pounds.
Yeah, named Fat Perez.
But there's a lot of sports that went on for me in my world this week.
It's a busy, busy week. I mean, NFL free agency. We've got college basketball tournaments, which have been great this week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, SEC tournament, ACC tournament, they have been busy.
Yesterday was a little chalk for the SEC.
Yeah, all the top seeds won in the quarterfinals yesterday, so we've got semifinals. But honestly, it probably makes it better that that happened because
today's games are going
to
be awesome.
Right, and these are important games. Mm-hmm. Auburn doesn't have a ton to play for, right? Like, they're probably the number one overall seed no matter what happens today.
The other three are playing for that number one.
Right, whoever goes the furthest out of the other three is probably the final one seed in the bracket, right? Like, if Tennessee wins the whole thing, they're probably the fourth one seed. If Florida beats Alabama, or vice versa, they're probably the final one seed as long as Tennessee doesn't beat them. So,
man,
a lot on the line today.
Three SEC teams as one seeds.
No, two.
Oh,
Duke and Houston,
yeah.
But probably two one seeds for the SEC, and then the top two seeds are both going to be in the SEC. So four of the top six. And they're all playing today against you.
I mean, there's a possibility to get 14 of 16 in,
which is
unheard of.
I think the way things played out in the tournament this week, they should get
14
of 16 in, right? Because Oklahoma beat Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and I think that helped Oklahoma move up. Georgia was already pretty much in. Vandy was pretty safe and lost to Texas. Texas beating Texas A&M probably gets them in. I think there's going to be 14 in tomorrow.
Yeah. I was there all day Wednesday. Time of my life. Four boring games, sort of.
There's something about just, like, conference tournament. Like, my senior year of college, we went up to New York, and just we were at every game of the week in Brooklyn of the ACC tournament.
Dude, that's a dream.
About being in that arena for 12 hours straight just watching basketball. It's great.
That's the dream.
It's like a kid's, like, heaven.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You grow up watching March Madness week in and week out. Like, yeah,
that's what my daily schedule has been. Like, I'm just, my schedule is built around these games right now. Like, as soon as this show's over, I'm rushing home and I'm getting ready for who's playing first. Auburn, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's, is that noon? Tim,
yeah.
Right?
I believe so.
So, coming up a little bit earlier on today, a little after us. I'll start our headlines off today. Speaking of basketball, we're not going to talk a lot about the ACC today, but Duke, North Carolina left. North Carolina erases a 20-point second-half deficit and goes to the free throw line down one with under 5 seconds left. Chance to take the lead. Former Vanderbilt Commodore legend, Van Allen Lubin.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first that would have tied the game.
And then on the second, Jalen Withers, Louisville legend.
Ugh.
Steps into the lane before Van Allen Lubin let it go. Would have tied the game at 73 with like 3 seconds left. Instead, it's a lane violation. North Carolina loses. They could get into the tournament, but I don't know if I would feel confident about it. But you win that game, you beat Duke even without Cooper Flagg.
Still a one seed.
I think that probably gets North Carolina in. I think it's good news for SEC teams on the bubble that North Carolina got that lane violation, but unbelievable. If the Tar Heels end up being the first team out, Jalen Withers might get run out of Chapel Hill in the next couple of weeks.
Here's what I don't understand about North Carolina. Why did they extend their coach?
Yeah, I don't...
Why?
I don't know. The old guard in the ACC is all completely gone now.
Yeah. Virginia's a wash.
Right, like Coach K's gone, Roy Williams is gone, Boeheim, Larrañaga stepped down this year. Who else? Florida State. Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah, Leonard Hamilton.
He just coached his last game. Josh Pastner's gone at Georgia Tech.
Legend.
Love me some Josh Pastner. Anyway, that's my headline. North Carolina chokes an opportunity to push themselves into the tournament. We'll see if they still sneak in tomorrow, but lane violation. That one's going to haunt Tar Heel fans for a while, especially against their rival Duke. Nick Frazier, what is your headline this morning?
There are a lot of them. I'm just going to go pinpoint each one of them. I can never pronounce his name properly, but he played for Mississippi State. He was a pitcher, ambidextrous pitcher.
Is it Cynthia?
I think it's something like that. Yeah. Gerangelo.
Yes.
But he's incredible. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a pitcher, I haven't in my lifetime, but there's only been four in Major League history that have pitched ambidextrous both ways. He throws 90-plus with both arms. I think that's
crazy.
First ever in MLB history. I don't believe.
Switch pitcher?
Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't see this yesterday?
Uh-uh.
In the same
I was day. Watching basketball.
Incredible.
Well, I thought the MLB Twitter account made a mistake yesterday, and they tweeted out, amphibious pitcher strikes out two in his debut. And I was like, there's no way that the MLB admin just mistook ambidextrous for amphibious.
Called him a reptile or whatever.
I thought it was a mistake. Apparently it was a reference to what was the name of the A's ambidextrous pitcher? Pat something.
Vendetti.
Pat Vendetti.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess a newspaper, when he made his debut, referred to him as amphibious instead of ambidextrous. So somebody did make that mistake, but it was a joke from the MLB account last night. But I was showing Max Herz last night in here. I'm like, I can't believe the MLB admin got away with this. Like,
amphibious.
It was up there for like 30 minutes when I saw it. I was like, this needs to be deleted now. Yeah.
Did they change it?
No, it was a joke. Like, they did it on purpose, but most people, I think the joke went over their head, just like me.
Yeah. Because it's been so long since Pat has thrown for the A's.
Right.
It's been like since 2015.
It feels like it was a very niche reference, and like it made them look pretty stupid.
Yeah. And it then goes to show you that baseball, people look at it as the pastime of America. Right. So, you know, unfortunately. But yeah, that was one of the headlines. Other one was Fat Perez. Third one was the Professional Darts League. Luke Littler once again shows up at the best time possible. And then the NRL, watched a little bit of that this morning around 3:30. My Brisbane Broncos ended up losing just a terrible game. They should have beat the Raiders. They ended up losing 32-22. And, yeah, we regroup and go on to next week.
How are our Eagles doing?
The Manly Sea Eagles. Tom Trbojevich, one of the Trbojevich
legend
brothers. He's the Turbo Tom, they call him.
I have his jersey.
He's currently, I think,
it's actually called a kit.
HIA, it's a head injury assessment. It's basically like concussion protocol.
Right.
So he's had a little bit of a head injury. And then I think they lost in round three this week.
Tough.
So
dang it.
There have been a lot of upsets. The Dragons lost this morning.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a big
wow.
one.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. Didn't see that one coming.
I didn't see that one.
Nobody did. Not at all. But yeah, there's my NRL update of the day.
Connor Newt, what's your headline?
Well, I don't want to talk about yesterday in the SEC tournament because that didn't go well. I want to talk about the day before.
What a day.
Day two of the SEC tournament. We start off with Ole Miss and Arkansas. What a great game, first of all. Sean Padula,
Virginia Tech legend,
knocks down the shot at the buzzer to take down Coach Cal, send him home. I don't think Coach Cal really cares that much because he went on an interview and said, you know, I don't really care about the SEC tournament. It helps our seeding. He's also claiming that beating South Carolina, the worst team in the SEC, has helped his seeding tremendously, which... wow, okay. What was the next game?
Well, to be fair,
it was A&M.
Arkansas did put it on South Carolina there at the end of the year.
They did. Yeah.
They did. But beating a one-win South Carolina team, I don't think helps your seeding that much.
I don't think so either. Yeah, A&M Texas, the double overtime
double
game.
Double overtime, which ruined everyone's day, but
right,
it was worth it. That was a good game. Man, I'm just blanking.
Missouri and
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. That was a good game. That one was back and forth. Sorry, Frazier.
It's okay.
And then the highlight of the night, I was up till 1 in the morning watching this, but how about Oteklahoma just taking down the Sooners?
I like that. Oteklahoma.
That was a great finish. I was not awake to see it, but I saw it the next morning.
It was awesome. It was worth the stay up. It was worth yesterday's pain. Obviously, we got shellacked by 30 by Alabama, but we're missing, you know, Owe went down.
Lamont Butler
was out. Robinson's out for the year. Wow, the final boss is outside.
Yeah.
Kerr Kariza went out for the year. Cats are gonna have to rest up and be ready for what appears to be Friday. I think they've locked up the 3 seed, but what a day. What a tournament so far.
Yes. Yes, and should be 2 good semifinals today and a good championship tomorrow. Do want to mention, weather bad out there in Middle Tennessee. Everybody stay safe out there.
The rock is outside.
Yes, we just had a large strike of lightning behind us.
The final boss.
Best thing to offer is to charge all your electronics before all this bad weather gets here. Yes. It's kind of already starting to get here.
And put your phone in rice.
Yeah, you can do that as well.
Just do that.
And Frazier has welcomed all people to his grandmother's basement.
Yes.
If you need to hide out from the weather.
There you go. The Olympic gold medalist.
It's a storm shed, I'll tell you that.
Olympic gold medalist.
Yes. Jake Wallman, wrap up our headlines.
That was good. I will talk about the SEC tournament as well, but it's not what's going on in the court. It's what's going on off the court with some some suggestive language from Bruce Pearl.
Oh, yeah. I think you should repeat it right now.
Yeah. Then Chase would literally come through the microphone.
Let's not.
The Titans, after signing Kevin Zeitler, can say the same thing as Bruce Pearl.
Yeah. Yeah, they can.
I wonder what provoked, like, I guess I wonder if he was just in the moment and he just kind of got lost in himself, or he was just like, you know, I wonder if he like went up there, was like, I'm going to say this.
I mean, what are they going to do?
Right.
I mean, he said it himself. The SEC isn't paying his paycheck. It's
right.
Auburn.
And like after what Diego Pavia did after the Alabama game, like
Diego Pavia must just be an absolute trendsetter for everything.
Yeah,
in the
that's
SEC.
True. He has started everything in the SEC. Yeah,
bad language.
People getting extra years of eligibility, except for Alberto Azuna.
Yeah.
He's above the standard.
Which?
Free Berto.
No. the waiver doesn't apply to him, which is why I don't understand the outrage. It was for people who this was their last year of eligibility. Last year was his last year of eligibility. So.
Oh, so he's a... How did he get this year of eligibility?
He never had it.
Oh.
He's fighting for it, but he never had it.
Dude, just go to Kroger. Get a job. Go home and get a job.
Indeed.com is calling his name. Connor Newt, you are in charge of our question of the day.
Oh, I am.
Do you have one? We can go to the other side of the break.
No, I got one.
Okay.
I saw a tweet earlier this week. I think it was just Tennessee local, but it was, what is the best Tennessee team with the best logo?
Ooh.
Let's expand that. What is the best logo in sports?
Okay.
Any sport.
Yep.
Professional, college, NRL, whatever you want to do.
I've got one in mind.
I have a few. Should we put restrictions on this? You can't say your own team.
Yes, let's go with that. Okay. You can't say a team you're a fan of. What is a logo that you admire that isn't your own team?
Because, I mean, the easy answer for me would be, you know, Kentucky Wildcat background block. But I'm not going to say it.
No,
because that's not fair.
I've got one I like, I think.
I'm curious. This was last weekend's question. What is one animal that you would fight with your bare hands? That you know you could beat.
Oh, yeah. We had a worm. Yeah.
A rabbit.
Okay.
See, we're measuring.
Unless it's like
of strength.
The rabbit from like Monty Python.
Oh, yeah.
Then that's a different
You should
that,
fight like
a different story.
The sandworm from Dune or something like that.
That one, I don't think so. No.
Why not? I think you could do it.
I think a small dog, maybe.
That's a fair. Shih Tzu?
Yeah,
a little chihuahua.
Not a kangaroo.
Yeah. No, kangaroo.
Dude, those things
kangaroo would
evil.
Not be fun. Yeah, that
Kenny
would be
the mailman
bad.
Called in last week, and hopefully Kenny's doing well. I don't know if you guys heard, but I think Eric called in early this week and said Kenny was had I guess some sort of surgery or something.
Oh,
something
yeah.
Like that.
Shout out Kenny.
Or he's
we hope you're doing
recovering
right.
from,
we love
from
you.
Something. My brain's not fully remembering everything, but hopefully Kenny's okay and recovering well.
Yes, hope Kenny's doing well. If you want to chime in, our question of the day. Connor Newt has asked, what is your favorite logo in sports? It cannot be your own team's. Obviously, we don't know what your what fan.
Yeah, I mean, that was more for us for
right.
than it was
yeah,
for
we'll
you.
Say it for us, but, you know, try and play by the rules.
What about
there.
Wrestlers? Because some of them have logos. Does that count?
We'll leave it wide open.
You
if you
want
to go
whatever you
it.
Want.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take a break. The Titans had a busy week in free agency, and it seems like we have an idea of where they're going in the draft. We'll talk to Tone Blue coming up next on Forest Company, 1025-1063 The Game. It's St. Patrick's Day weekend, and we are celebrating in East Nashville. Come out and join 102.5 The Game in Five Points at Boston Commons for the official Nashville St. Patrick's Day parade, presented by Aer Lingus, kicking off at 10 a.m. today, so about 40 minutes from now. Live Irish music, drink specials, and family fun all day long. And 102.5 The Game will be on site from 9 to 11 a.m. with swag to give away. And you can sign up for a chance to win concert tickets. Force Company, 102.5, 106.3. The Game off and rolling on this Saturday morning. We are asking you today, in our question of the day, what is your favorite logo? We've already got a few answers on our text line, 615-737-1025. If you want to chime in, we'll get to our answers coming up at 10 a.m. But first, let's get into the Titans. NFL free agency opened this week. Titans made a couple of big moves, a couple of smaller moves. The big splash that they made was signing left tackle Dan Moore to a four-year, $82 million deal. They added guard Kevin Zeitler, linebacker Cody Barton, safety Xavier Woods, wide receiver Van Jefferson, punter Johnny Hecker, edge rusher Draymond Jones. Am I missing anybody? I think that's the gist of
Brandon Allen.
Quarterback Brandon Allen.
Say Dramonte Jones?
Dramont Jones.
Dramont, sorry.
Yes.
There's no E.
From the Seahawks.
Mike
yes.
Brown.
Re-signed. Yes, they re-signed Mike Brown, re-signed Sebastian Joseph Day. Believe that's the gist of the big moves that the Titans made. And that brings us to what everything is circling around. I mentioned throughout the last month or so that I think the deadline for the Titans trading the number one overall pick was St. Patrick's Day, which is 2 days away. It's over, though. And I want to reiterate this for anybody on the text line who wants to text in and ask about the Titans trading the pick, because we got so many yesterday. I was telling Jake Wallman, it was very frustrating. Yesterday, filling in for Jared, the amount of texters who kept texting in, let's trade the pick. Are we going to trade the pick? Can we still trade the pick? The Titans are not trading the pick. Cam Ward is going to be the pick at number one. It's over.
Nice, Jared.
You need to win.
You sound just like him right now. It's awesome.
I just want everybody to get it locked in. We need everybody on the same page. Cam Ward is going to be the Titans quarterback. He's going to be the number one overall pick.
It's going to happen.
Right. If you can look at what the Titans did this week and think they aren't picking Cam Ward number one overall, I don't know what you're looking at, because Brandon Allen and Will Levis are not going to go into the season as your entire quarterback room.
I don't even think Will Levis will be on the team.
I don't think so. I think he'll be traded or cut.
Or cut.
Maybe.
Unless they bring him in as their emergency third,
which they
can do.
Regardless, if they don't bring in another quarterback, minus a Cam Ward if they were to draft him, you got to keep him on the roster. You can't roll with two QBs and one of them being Brandon Allen.
Well, talking with TD yesterday, I agree with his assessment that I think Levis goes through training camp with the Titans.
Yep.
Maybe he shows some flashes in the preseason. Maybe somebody's quarterback gets injured and you can trade him if a team gets desperate. But like,
the Will Levis Titans era is over.
But Malik Willis got traded last year.
Yeah,
I think you could get a sixth or a seventh for Will Levis.
Yeah.
You got to start like trying to figure out right trade partners for a guy like that. Say if he does have a good preseason. I mean, the one that pops into my head is Seattle. Because I don't know if their backup quarterback was Sam Howell still? I mean, you ride with Sam Howell or Will Levis?
I've got one for you.
Oh.
Duval.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Reunite Liam Cohen and Will Levis.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
He seems pretty gullible to do so. And what, their GM's like 34 years old? Like,
right. And if Liam Cohen is like, hey, we've got Trevor Lawrence, but let's bring in a guy I'm familiar with who knows my system to be the backup quarterback. I don't hate it.
I'm trying to let free agency play out a little bit more before I make that assessment.
I don't think a trade is imminent, but right. I think.
I mean, you still have guys out there. Aaron Rodgers still has to make a decision.
Russell Wilson.
I mean, there's a lot that needs to play out before we get into, okay, what do we do with Will Levis? You got to hit the draft. Who takes a quarterback in the draft?
Right. Does Shedeur Sanders go to the Browns? Giants? Does he fall? We don't really know that. But again, just want everybody out there listening, just accept it. You don't have to like it. I like it. I think Cam Ward's good.
That's what The Rock says.
One thing.
For sure. I can't say the one word he says in the middle. It's not a bad... Well, it's a bad word, but... I gave cursing up for Lent. You are gonna respect it.
Yes. You don't have to like it, but Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick, and he's going to be the Titans' number one pick. Everything is trending that way. But the question I have for you guys is, do you think the Titans have given him a good situation to come into now with the offensive line revamped? Mm. Might need some more weapons. But do you think Cam Ward is coming into a situation where he can come in and have some immediate success?
I mean, I don't think it's a good situation, but I think it's, on paper, it's improved. You sign an all-pro guard, or maybe Pro Bowl, Kevin Zeitner. Mm-hmm. Good guard. As you said, Bruce Pearl would be very happy with the guard play.
Yes.
I think you've obviously moved J.C. Latham to right tackle, his natural position, which, listening to TD, I think he's right in that he would be an above-average left tackle, but he could be an all-pro right tackle.
Right.
Yeah. It's his natural position. Dan Moore is a natural left. Is he a good left tackle? Maybe. We don't know yet.
He's serviceable. Titans have been looking for.
He is a starting caliber tackle, which is what they wanted. You got him. Mm-hmm. I think you've made strides to improve the offensive line. You're not the Philadelphia Eagles, but you've improved your line. Now you got to go get him more weapons. He can't just be throwing the ball to Calvin Ridley, who is hit or miss off and on. But I feel like, yeah, they've improved their situation. It's not a good situation for him to come into, but I think he can be successful in this situation.
I think the only way Cam Ward has success, if he is the quarterback, is if Dan Moore Jr. works out. If he doesn't, then this whole thing is a dumpster fire again, 100%. The Titans and Titans fans in general know this. They've had struggling times with the left tackle position. And we've all talked about, even Jared's mentioned the right tackle. They don't have a right tackle. That's solidified now. The left tackle position, back to square one. If you can't fill that up, to me, I feel like this is a
dumpster fire. I mean, you're paying 4 years, $82 million.
Yeah, and I don't think that money's worth it for Dan Moore Jr. That's the problem. I'm very pessimistic about this. I don't know why, but I've watched some film on the guy. I mean, I've heard from other people that are Steeler fans, and my uncle's a Steelers fan. He's told me about him. He's like, you're just getting a serviceable guy. That's it. Like you were saying, serviceable.
But
he's available. That's it to me.
From what I've watched, he's great in run protection.
Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
average to a below average in pass protection.
Right, and the hope is that with Bill Callahan, that you can maybe take some of the traits that has allowed him to be a starting left tackle in the league for the last 4 years and improve upon them. I don't think Bill Callahan had the capability to turn Nicholas Petitfrere into a serviceable player. Like, It's tough to take a guy who's just not good and try and make him average. But I think it's easier for a good coach to turn an average player into a good player. And I think that's the hope of what the Titans are looking for, is that, hey, Dan Moore, yeah, he's probably a middle-of-the-road left tackle in the league. Can Bill Callahan turn him into a top half of the league left tackle?
Well, I mean, if we're basing everything off hope, I hope the Titans sign me to an $82 million deal. I mean, that's ludicrous.
They can. Practices in the Applebee's parking lot.
I'm ready. That's ludicrous to me. You sign a guy that's 26 years old. I get there's some upside.
He's got 66 starts in the NFL.
Great.
I'm with Frazier. We got to get out of this.
I'm not
to quote Jared, Bill Callahan will fix it.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you get a guy who's got experience and clearly has some sort of promise to him, and you're giving him one of the top two offensive line coaches in the league.
Yeah, but the money, though, when you give a guy that much money, you're anointing him as the left tackle of the future, and we don't know that. Yeah. Nobody knows that.
They had to overpay
what
for him.
What else were they going to do at tackle if they didn't get him?
I mean, I'd rather go and just basically get a small amount of money for a left tackle than spend a bunch of money on a left tackle that probably may or may not work out.
Yeah, but what other starting caliber left tackle was out there?
Yeah, if you spend a small amount of money on left tackle, Cam Ward is going to be on the ground a lot. Yeah.
Here's the deal. I would rather, and this is just my opinion, I would rather spend minute amount of money on a left tackle in free agency rather than give an $82 million contract with $50 million guaranteed to a guy that may be the same quality to, I'd say, roughly another left tackle in the league somewhere else.
But who? Like, Cam Robinson is probably the only other tackle out there, and has he signed yet?
I don't think so.
Well, there was also the other guy from the 49ers who backed up Trent Williams, and he got like $15 million a year from the Chiefs. So, guy who had almost no starting experience got $15 million a year. you're giving a little over 20 a year to a guy with 66 NFL starts.
It's just the market, brother.
It's left tackle. It's a premier position. You got to pay if you're going to get it. Cam Robinson, I believe, is still available. But
I just don't like seeing the big money go to a position that we just have all, not we, as the Titans, have always have an unknown question mark with.
And if he struggles, I was going to say sucks, if he struggles, then you're probably going to have to draft a left tackle early in the next couple of years.
And that's been a cycle that's happened, the last two drafts?
I really think it's only a two-year deal when you look at it, because he's getting $30 million this year.
He's got options.
There's $50 million guaranteed.
20 next
year. So it'll be 30 this year, 20 next year, and there's probably an out after the 2026 season. So really, you got 2 years to figure out if you can turn this guy into a good left tackle moving forward. And we'll see if the Titans are able to do that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're going to get to your phones next, talking about the Titans here on Forest Company, 1025-1063, The Game. Forest Company, 1025-1063, The Game, talking Titans on this Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. Big week for the Titans. Lots of free agency moves, trying to fill out this roster and get ready for the arrival of Cam Ward in just over a month. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line wanting to chime in. Trey, good morning. What you got for us?
How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, okay, here's the scenario, okay? This is my belief. I believe that if they do draft Cam Ward, okay, they went and got Brandon Allen to compete with Will Levis. They know Will Levis is better than Brandon Allen. They're going to get rid of Brandon Allen. Will Levis will be the second quarterback. Cam Ward is going to get hurt maybe 6-7 games in. Will's going to come back and quarterback. That's what I believe, and I love you guys. Have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Trey. I mean, I don't know about that. I think...
Why would they pay Brandon Allen that money if they're just going to toss him?
Right, and like it makes more sense to have an established backup when you're bringing in a young quarterback like that. And another thing, TD made a good point yesterday, is like having the old quote-unquote franchise quarterback in the room when you bring in the new guy, like I'm not so sure that's a good fit for everybody. Like,
what is Cam Ward going to learn from Will Levis?
Right, and like, is Will Levis going to handle that well when he was supposed to be the guy last year and now it's like, oh, I've got to be the third string or the backup to the new guy? Will Levis still wants to be a starting quarterback in this league.
And he still thinks he's a starting quarterback.
Right. It's not like Will Levis is like, oh, well, we gave it our best shot. I guess we're never going to start again in the NFL. Like he still is fighting to be a starting quarterback somewhere. I'm just not sure that that's a good fit with when you're bringing in a guy who is the number one pick. And if you draft a guy number one, there's no quarterback competition. There's no controversy. He's your guy. So I don't know. I think Brandon Allen is your backup. Will Levis, I guess there's an outside shot you keep him around and have him be your emergency quarterback every week, but I think it's more likely than not that he is not on the Titans by week one.
Bless his heart. That's all I got to say to Will Levis. Bless his heart. The kid tries, but you know what? You bring in a guy like Cam Ward, that's going to be changing your franchise. And Will Levis wasn't the guy that changed the Titans franchise, unfortunately. And as for the sake of having him around, like we mentioned earlier about a trade, I don't know. I'm intrigued to see if he can perform, because I still think Will Levis, like you guys mentioned before, stays through training camp, and I think he does make the roster. I think he does stick around for the long haul just for the rest of this season. I mean, sure, there might be a team out there that wants him, but I think he actually brings a little bit of value to the team when it comes to an emergency situation. That's the only thing I think that's beneficial. But as for everything else, nah.
I think, honestly, they might be better off just signing a practice squad quarterback to be your emergency. Like, I don't see why. Like, Will Levis, if you're having him here just as like a safety net for being a third quarterback, I think that's not great for the team, and it's probably not good for Will Levis, right?
Yeah.
Like, Will Levis wants to go. He probably needs a fresh start at this point.
I would cut my losses. I'd just trade him for a sixth or a seventh, whatever you can get for him. Just call it a day.
You might even be able to do, like, a pick swap and go from, like, the fifth to the fourth or something. Like, turn one of your two fifths into another fourth.
Yeah, do that.
And then you've got 3/4, and maybe you could move into the third.
Do what's best for the guy. I mean,
I agree. I think there's no reason to just hold Will Levis on the roster as a third string quarterback. I think it's going to be similar to Malik Willis last year, right? Like, probably goes through training camp as quarterback 3, and then at the end of training camp, see if anybody wants him. You maybe get a 6th, maybe get a 7th. If not, you cut him.
I mean, we got to get this out of our heads that Will Levis is a starting caliber quarterback. As of this moment, right now, he's
right.
not.
And that could change. Like, Corey Curtis said it yesterday. Will Levis is allowed to get better. Like, it's not just completely over for him. I'm sure that there are going to be more NFL opportunities for Will Levis at some point in his career. They're probably just not going to be here. So I don't really see the point of holding on to him when you're just going to really be stashing him as your third quarterback, and it's not good for him, probably not good for Cam Ward either.
Yeah. I mean,
I think from a roster standpoint, though, like, if it's logical, because, like, if you look at the Titans offseason, everything on paper looks solid. Like, they got a lot of guys they've signed that are 90-plus percentile in being available to play for snaps and so forth. I think if you're Will Levis and you're the Titans, sure, it might be better off to find a new situation. But if it's me, familiarity is key when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah.
And especially for the quarterback position, because we all, as fans of the NFL, as spectators of the NFL, everybody prioritizes the quarterback position as the moneymaker. The NFL has prioritized it as their number one advertising asset. I think you have to kind of do that. You have to keep a guy like that, especially you spend a bunch of money on him last year for advertising that didn't pay off. So, I mean, obviously it's a laugh in the face, and I'm looking at it in a different direction. But I think you got to have a third emergency quarterback. And maybe the logical reason is to bring in a practice squad guy. But I don't know. Familiarity for me, I think, is key rather than bringing in somebody else that's kind of unfamiliar with everything.
I don't know. I feel like I would use that extra roster spot as depth for another position that's lacking. Bring in another wide receiver. Bring in, you know, a linebacker. Those are positions more of need than if you're going to use the number one pick on Cam Ward. You're getting your quarterback. You have your backup. Get more depth on the other side, other positions, so that you can strengthen your situation and help that quarterback.
I was going to punch a hole through my TV if I saw that Will Levis Mayo commercial in the playoffs one more time.
I'm about to punch a hole through my TV if I see more YouTube TV Enjoy the Zen commercials.
Yeah, that one, or the, is it Boost Mobile with the little, like, wiggly guy out there?
Yeah,
that one.
The car inflatable.
Yeah, oh my God. I've seen that commercial like 1,000 times over the past 2 weeks watching basketball.
It's the one YouTube TV where it's like the boat in Venice.
Oh, you don't like that one?
And it's just the water. It makes me mad. I'm okay with the Paris one. That one's relaxing.
I don't think I've seen any of these.
The koala.
I don't have
okay.
YouTube TV, but I know what he's talking about. That it's like they run out of spots, so there's
they
like
play it for like 3 minutes.
Right.
Too.
It's just like enjoy the Zen, and it's just like supposed to be relaxing sounds.
Oh, it makes me so mad. It's not relaxing at all. It just makes me mad. I'm like, just get to the game. I'd rather listen to Jimmy Dykes complain about referees.
Yeah, can we just watch like the in-house entertainment during breaks, like on NBA League Pass?
I like when they do
that. That'd be great.
Yeah. Did you see Carl Ravitch yesterday, by the way? He said at one point, I can't remember what game it was, he said, but they're dominating. The score is 20-18. Why?
Carl Ravitch.
It's a two-point game.
My favorite is Texas is on a 4-0 run. He said that against Kentucky. I was like, what are we doing, man?
I also can't believe the SEC is going to get 14 teams in when 15 of them are going to lose this week. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
That's insane.
I know. Like,
I love it.
What kind of conference goes 500?
Only one team getting through champ week undefeated.
It's ridiculous, man.
The SEC's overrated.
At the start of the Tennessee game yesterday, they were talking about the conference's like win percentages and stuff. And I thought about our conversation where Carl Ravitch, like we were just dogging Carl Ravitch the entire weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad that got, I mean.
Has he called basketball before this year?
Yeah, yes, yeah.
He has.
He's mostly a baseball guy, though.
He's
but
not
yeah,
good
the
at that either.
The 500 in the conference was bad.
I caught myself in a rabbit hole this past week on YouTube on watching ESPN Baseball Tonight from like 1996.
Yeah.
Carl Ravitch was one of the top hosts on there. Oh, my goodness.
Carl Ravitch in baseball is one of those guys
prime.
That tries...
Prime Carl Ravitch.
Well, he's about to be done because baseball's about to be done on ESPN.
Indeed.
So.
Well, he's one of those that tries to predict the pitch before it's thrown,
right.
And then he's wrong 99% of the time.
It is a cool feeling when you do get it right. Like, when I call one of those Vandy baseball games a few weeks ago, I did say, like... Went with the breaking ball there. Let's see if he goes back to it, and he did. And I was like, "Yeah."
Well, Carl Ravitch will be like 3-1.
My feathers a little bit.
3-1. Here comes the fastball right up the middle. And he throws like a slider to the outside.
tangent. Carl Ravitch. Is he calling games today?
I would venture to say yes.
Maybe.
No, it's probably Shulman.
Shulman and Billis will probably call one, and then
they'll probably split it,
and then Shulman will call tomorrow's championship.
Big day of basketball coming up. We'll talk about those games in the second hour. Also, our question of the day coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll answer it. What's your favorite logo in sports? 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune in right after us on 102.5 and 106.3, the game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores face Auburn on the road. Pregame begins at 10:45, first pitch at 11. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. It's 9:45 on a Saturday, which means it's time for Newt's Notes right after this on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's time for Newt's Notes on Four's Company. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman, Connor Newt, take it away.
All right. Let's just, I was at the SEC tournament on Wednesday, and I came to the realization, we kind of hit on this earlier here, but I want to go in deep in this. There is nothing better than being in an environment of schools that you don't usually get to watch in person. But more specifically, there's nothing better than watching another school's mascot. I just want to take a minute to appreciate college mascots because they are the best in the country, best in the world. I mean, I don't like Arkansas, but Arkansas brought out this big inflatable thing. His name is Boss Hogg, and he would like beat his chest and kiss the children. Yes, I said that.
Better than the alternative, I guess.
Mississippi State had Bully.
Yeah, Bully, he's on a leash. We walk him around.
Yeah, Bully.
People pet the dog.
Well, he wasn't a real dog. He was a mascot. But Bully stole people's phones, and he stole a giant tub of popcorn and threw it at people.
Sounds about right.
I love Bully. My favorite was Mike the Tiger, LSU's guy. He's hilarious. He hit the gritty on the logo every single time he could. Bevo is great. Bevo threw his hat at someone at one point. Bevo stole a camera and started, you know.
There you go.
Pointing. Boss Hogg.
What did he do now? We're learning all about Boss Hogg right now.
I mean, look up Boss Hogg.
No, I know what he looks like.
Yeah. He's Boss Hogg.
He looks like the... kind of like the T-Rex little inflatable things, like where
it reminds
like your
me of
head goes up top.
Every time I see one of those inflatable things, I think of the T-Rex one that ate that cheerleader
right,
that one time.
Yeah.
In like 2009.
Is that Ian Eagle or Kevin Harlan was on the call for that one or something like that? No, the mascot stuff at conference tournaments is great. I remember at the ACC one, because the Notre Dame Leprechaun is like an actual person, they gave him like the mic. And he was doing like Simon Says with the other mascots and stuff like that. And they do have some fun. Are we seeing Boss Hogg?
Yeah, Boss Hogg.
He's kind of scary.
Yeah, he is. Well, he would like lean up and like he would the little kids would kiss him on his nose. He was very nice.
He has some big.
He's nice
tusk.
To the kids. Not weird.
Yeah.
Not Epstein. He was nice.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like look at the tusk in that thing. That's a pretty big tusk. You know,
he's a big boy.
I learned this about hogs recently. My uncle told me about this. They get to a certain amount of weight, and the meat in the hog ends up turning kind of tangy, and then that's when they turn to be a boar because the tusks start to grow after about like 9 days.
Is that what's your pig name again?
Skillet.
Skillet. Yeah. Is that Skillet going to turn into?
Not to the boar material because obviously Skillet is going to be.
How much time does Skillet have left?
On
this
June.
Earth.
Till June.
Oh. Till June.
Till June.
3 months.
Count your days, pig.
Going off.
Nah, this is my segment. You shut your mouth.
I'm going to add, I'm adding to it. The Mac, the mid,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mid-American Conference. They did
not the MAC, but
no, the MAAC.
The Metro. Oh, maybe yes. It's Metro Atlantic. I don't know.
That sounds right.
They did a game
with their mask, like a full-on basketball game.
I kind of like that. It's got to be tough to shoot, though, with like the paws or whatever you have on, the right? Paw. Like you can't grip the basketball.
Let's get Boss Hogg on the court. I want to see it.
Because, like, I think hooves or whatever, they're just flat. There's no grip. You just, like...
I saw yesterday...
Like, yeah, you just kind of push it.
Yesterday, Morgan Wallen was at the Tennessee game, and Bevo came and sat right next to him.
There you go.
And the security guard for Morgan Wallen looked like he was about to beat up Bevo.
Now, I mean...
He stole his hat.
Smokey got involved. It was
the battle for the real UT yesterday.
Yeah, that was another thing. Notice what logo for Texas they used yesterday. They use their baseball tee.
Oh.
Instead of the Longhorn logo.
Yeah, instead of Longhorn, yeah.
They're trying to fabricate this rivalry.
See if they can be the real UT.
And they've lost like the last four games.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't gone well for Texas in that regard against Tennessee at the very least.
I think they're one of the first four out, if I'm not mistaken.
They're on the bubble. Their win against beating Vandy and A&M helped them a lot. But I would say out of the 14 SEC teams that could get in, they're probably the closest to the bubble.
Mm.
I would say Oklahoma would probably be next, then probably Vandy. But
Oklahoma apparently has three mascots.
Really?
They have Boomer, Sooner, they're both ponies, and then they have one exclusively for basketball, and he's a dog, and his name is Top Dog.
Oh.
He wasn't
I didn't know
there.
That. Well, there are a lot of schools that have the male and female.
Kentucky has that.
Like
we have the Wildcat, and then we have Scratch.
The Gate at Florida has Albert and Alberta.
I mean, we have Mr. and Mrs. Met in baseball.
The NC State has Mr. and Mrs. Wolf.
Yeah. I feel like there's a big one. But, I mean, this is just a love letter to mascots.
Mascots are great. The whole experience of a conference tournament is great. If you've never been to a conference basketball tournament, it's so much fun.
My favorite part, doesn't matter how the game ends, both bands will start playing the fight song
at the exact same time.
And if you're sitting in the middle, you can hear both.
Right. It's, inside baseball here. Like, broadcasting at the SEC tournament last week, like, Vandy beats Tennessee. I was closer to the Vandy band, so you could mostly hear Dynamite, but you could also hear Rocky Top on the other side. It's like, I was like, please stop. I'm going to get a headache here. There were also, like, 100,000 screaming children in that arena that day too, because it was the early game. So anyway, conference tournaments, they're great. They're the best. Appreciate your Newt's notes this week, Connor.
Stay away from Boss Hogg.
Yes. Connor Newt also had our question of the day today. What is your favorite mascot in any sport? We're leaving it open to interpretation. We ask you for it not to be your favorite team, but we'll give our answers coming up next. Hour number two coming up here on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.